Dear congregation, as we have recently been going through the epistle of Paul to the Galatians and have come to the fruit of the Spirit, we are reminded that the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 verse 22 is this: but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And that's where we will spend our time today, long-suffering or patience. And what follows there is kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And I would like to turn to with you in your Bibles to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, you can find it on page 1521 as we'll begin reading at verse 21. 1521 in your pew Bible. Matthew 18. And we'll begin reading at verse 21. Demonstrating here patience in this parable that Jesus gives to his disciples in response to Peter asking him this question. Let us hear God's word. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Thus far the reading of God's precious and infallible word. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we continue the series on the fruit of the Spirit, of love, joy, peace, and patience, as we come to today, we recognize that there are three graces that we looked at already, demonstrating a believer's attitude to God: love, joy, and peace. And indeed, all of these are also found in God. But the next triad, the next three graces that really demonstrate a believer's attitude toward other people, such as patience and kindness and goodness. And you can see how they are in direct conflict to that which is the work of the flesh: hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, and the like. And we recognize this, and we recognize that this fruit of the Spirit is a Christian clothing, as it were, to reflect the very character of Christ, not only in a vertical relationship with God, but also in a horizontal relationship with others. And as we recognize that, when the Holy Spirit works in our lives and transforms us, and we become a new creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, then we recognize as this Christian character is like a cloak that's put on us. It's not something our flesh creates in itself, but it is the work of God in us. And as this garment is put on, this garment is woven with all of the fruit of the Spirit, each one of them a strand of a thread. But if you look from a distance, you see it is one coat. And each one of these threads in this garment, including the thread of patience, are essential to this garment. And so as we look at this today, we want to look at the fruit of the Spirit, patience. What we're going to do, first of all, is define patience, and then secondly, show us how we are called to walk in patience. And there will be obviously some application already in the definition of it. Well, first of all, then, as we define patience, we recognize that this word in Greek is to be long-tempered or long-suffering, forbearing, but also enduring with one another. And we recognize, here's a couple of definitions that I found that really are quite clear and summarize these words. The ability to endure for a long time, despite opposition and suffering, in order to show the perseverance without desiring revenge. Or another said, the ability to put up with weakness and the weakness of others, and to show forbearance toward them without becoming irritated or angry. And you can see how this is contrary to that of the flesh. Because how many of us have ever said, I'm losing my patience? Maybe our children get us a little bit upset and they're pushing all the right buttons, and all of a sudden I'm losing my patience. And that's true. That happens to all of us. And so we need to really look at this theme of patience. If this is indeed a fruit of the Spirit, then it ought to be important to us. Now we can come up with a definition from words and the structure of words and the etymology of words and so on. But I would suggest to you that patience is best shown and described and defined in God Himself. God possesses and God reflects a perfect patience that's consistent with all of His attributes in a perfect way. It doesn't take long as you're thumbing through Scripture to come to the revelation of God's patience. After the fall, the world became exceedingly sinful. So sinful, in other words, that God in Genesis 6 repented of even creating man. Man who He's created in His image, have fallen, and now are rebelling against Him. And all their thoughts are evil continually. And God still exercises patience. We read in 1 Peter 3, this divine long-suffering of God. This divine patience of God in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. God was showing them patience. Even though He's going to judge the world with a flood, He's showing them patience. I think of how God took His people out of Egypt. He brings them all the way to Mount Sinai, and He's giving them the law, and He's blessed them with food from heaven, water, and all kinds of blessings. And there Moses is gone, and they make this golden calf, and Aaron sets them before Him and says, here is your God, worship and bow down. God is angry. He tells Moses, get down. These people have already rebelled against Me. He comes down and He plagues the people. But He still is with His people. And he asked Moses to come up to the mountain again. And Moses is going to have a revelation from God. And God won't meet with him face to face, but he will show him his character. And his goodness will pass before him. And when he does, he says this: the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, patient, even with my rebellious people who are already rebelling against me, even though I brought them out of the land of Egypt. Long-suffering, patient. It's no wonder that after the spies came back and they gave a terrible report and weren't trusting in God and thought they were going to be overcome by the nations in Canaan, that Moses goes before God and he pleads upon his mercy in Numbers 14 and his patience. The very character of God. It's no wonder in the Psalms the patience of God is praised and pleaded. Psalm 86. But you, O Lord, are God, full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy, truth. Think of how the patience of God is extolled and praised in Psalm 103, many other places in Scripture. God in himself is patient. And he reveals that to us in and through his Lord, in and through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who perfectly demonstrated patience. Demonstrated in his teaching, as we just read in Matthew 18. As he reminds us in this parable of how patient God is. Just like this king who wanted to have his debts repaid, and this person, he owed him more than he and his children could ever pay in all of their lifetime. Millions of dollars in today's estimation. And how he has patience and compassion on him and forgives him the debt. But then how this man goes out and another person who owes him about an equivalent of a cup of coffee at Starbucks. He couldn't even have patience with him to repay it, but throws him in prison until he could pay the debt. Isn't that a picture of how patient God is with us? And maybe our patience toward others. It's Christ's teaching in parables. But demonstrated throughout his whole life. As he leaves glory and takes upon himself our flesh and dwells as the creator of all things with his creatures. To walk with them. To suffer with them. All of the normal things we as those who are under the curse of the fall suffer in. To come under the authority of his parents. And one time to be in Jerusalem. And to begin to go about his father's business and his parents are upset with him. What are you doing? You've made us so concerned and worried for you. Don't you respect us? And Jesus says, don't you know I was about my father's business? And yet, with so much patience, he just goes back to Nazareth with his parents. Patiently coming under their authority. Patiently walking with his disciples when they're so slow to understand, so slow to believe. Who make fools of themselves again and again and again. And Jesus comes alongside patiently with them. Instructing them. As the crowds gather around him and then they all fall away again. And Jesus continues to teach. And there he comes at the end of his ministry. Oh, looks over Jerusalem and he looks around it. And he recognizes his people and how they have rejected the prophets. And now how they're rejecting him. And he weeps. Oh,
Oh, I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. He demonstrates his patience as he comes in the hall of Caiaphas to be mocked, to be blasphemed, to be unjustly condemned, and to be brought before Pontius Pilate, to be led, as we read in Isaiah 53, as a lamb to the slaughter, and yet he opened not his mouth. Where in this whole narrative would have you said, I've lost my patience, this is enough. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to call down upon you the very wrath of God. Where would have you drawn that line? And Jesus continues in patience to the cross. What have you called down legions of angels to deliver you? He dies on the cross for our example. That's what we read in 1 Peter 2. When he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. He suffered and he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Isn't that why the author to Hebrews says, look unto Jesus? As you run the race that's set before you with endurance or patience, run it looking to Jesus and the example that he has set before us. Because can't we all confess that God has been patient with us? It's really his expression of his love. God's patience expresses his love to us in order to permit this opportunity for repentance and restoration in God. Isn't that why Paul says in Romans 2, asking this question, ought not the goodness, the patience, the long-sufferingness of God bring us to repentance? How many of us believed the gospel the very first time we heard it? The 100th time we heard it? The 1,000th time we heard it? Maybe you still have not repented. And God is still patient with you. Ought not his patience bring us to repentance? It's a matter of fact, God doesn't just show his patience to his elect. He even shows his patience to those who are not elect. And they will all have to give an account to God's patience with him. Isn't that why Paul says in Romans 9, what if God, wanting to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with long-suffering patience the very vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? God is patient with the wicked every day. It's really a call for all of us to faith and repentance. It's the patience of God that gives the avenue for repentance and restoration. And when we do turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we do receive the Holy Spirit, and that through that regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, we have this union with Christ by faith, and we receive all of his blessings, including the Holy Spirit, conforming us renewing us. And we become this fruit-bearing tree with patience as one of the fruits. We can't produce patience in the flesh. Not at all. But it is through the Holy Spirit. It won't be perfect in our life, but it ought to be growing with the Spirit working in us. It ought to be developing and ripening to a full mature fruit, a sweet fruit. And the only way that's going to happen is if our roots are going down into the Word of God, where the patience of God is revealed. The patience of Christ is revealed. It's exemplified for us. Good congregation, we need to recognize that even though the Holy Spirit is the one who produces this fruit in us, of patience even, that we aren't some kind of just some bystander in this all as the Holy Spirit produces it in us. But that He does so in us and through us. It's a matter of putting off the old and a putting on to walk in patience. Isn't that why in Colossians 3 we read these words? Therefore, as the elect of God, those who are His holy, His beloved, He says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. This is patience, which produces forgiving one another. And this patience begins to work itself out as we walk in patience, as we read in Ephesians 4. Walking worthy of that calling wherewith we are called, with all lowliness, gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another. Almost parallel verses. Patience. This is what we're called to walk in. That's what we want to see in our second point. To walk in the Spirit, worthy of the calling of God as His dear children, as we walk in patience. How do we walk in patience? The first thing I want to point out is that we are, first of all, called to walk in patience in the midst of adversity. In the midst of adversity. We've all heard this well-known idiom. That person has the patience of Job. There's a reason for that. Job, I don't know if we can fully comprehend the afflictions he went through in Job 1 and 2. He lost everything. His business, his family, his health. Now his wife is even calling upon him to curse God. And yet he's patient in adversity. James picks up on this in James 1. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience then have its perfect work. You may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Job was tested. He was tried. And through the book of Job, we read of how he was tested and tried in adversity, and how God blessed him in the end. To have the patience of Job is a grace from God. It is patience and adversity. I would love to spend a lot of time on this, but we're going to be looking at Lord's Day 10 and the providence of God and how that produces in us patience and adversity next Lord's Day. And I don't want to spend, therefore, more much more time on it today, other than to say this, that in our life, when we submit and surrender our lives to God in all things, then when the challenges of life come and the storms of life beat upon us, we can truly, by God's grace, know that all things are working together for good for those who are called, for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Because God is with us in our trials. And the Spirit is producing and exercising in us this fruit of patience. I've seen it again and again in ministry. And it is one of the most profound and beautiful graces of God when we receive patience in adversity. And really, there will never really be true joy and peace in all of our life, in the midst of all of life, unless we have a patient waiting and trusting in God. The second thing, as we walk in patience, I want to draw our attention to is to be patient in the midst of our responsibilities. In every aspect of life, we need patience. Whether we are a student patient with the weaknesses of our teacher, or a teacher patient with very good students. I'm sure you all were excellent students all of the time. Or children patient with the weaknesses of their parents, or parents patient when their children are not acting as they should. Patience. As an employee who recognizes the weaknesses of their employer, and an employer who sometimes needs to be patient with their employees. As a pastor or office bearer, patient with the flock. And the flock, sometimes patient with their pastor. The list could go on. I think of the Apostle Paul. Because so often I think the weight of this responsibility of bearing the fruit of patience is incumbent upon leadership. And in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 3, Paul says these words, and they're interesting. I think they could be applied not just to ministers or ministry, but to all. He says, "We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. Brothers and sisters, let it never be said once of us in any of our responsibilities in life that our responsibility and the way we conduct ourselves in our responsibility would be blamed for others stumbling because of our lack of even patience." And so no wonder Paul says that our ministry be not in blame, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much what? Patience. That's one of the first things that he thinks of. Patience. That it would not be blamed in tribulations and needs, distresses. You see the afflictions. But how do you handle yourself in those? It's patience. Even in imprisonment and persecution, sleeplessness, fasting. To do so by long suffering. By kindness and by the Holy Spirit, he says. This is how we can most minister to someone, is through patience. I think of how he says in Ephesians 6 for parents, don't provoke your children to wrath. Impatience will, but patience won't. masters and servants. He applies the two as well. But I would say, especially in ministry, though, that patience is absolutely required. Notice what Paul writes to young minister Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. He says to him, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and patient." Patient. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. It doesn't say your patience should make you just run away from problems. No, you confront them, but you do so with humility by exercising patience. And the purpose is that perhaps God will grant them repentance so that they would know the truth. That's the goal. He goes on to tell Timothy, despite all of these perilous times that are coming, and despite all of the challenges that are going to come your way, he says to him, "I charge you, Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort. Do that. That's important. But do it with long-suffering and teaching." With patience. You see, my point is this. It's not only about what we do, but it's about how we do it. You can stand for truth and you can be bold, and somebody could praise you for it because of your conviction and how scriptural you are and how you got it all right, but the way you do it could completely negate the very truth that you're standing upon. We need to exercise patience. It's about character. Who's sufficient for these things? Who's sufficient? Those who have this Christian Holy Spirit worked character, and it will simply never be perfect. That's why we do need grace. But a desire for it is absolutely essential. And so we must pray for it. Isn't that why Paul in Colossians 1 is setting before them, and it really says, "For this reason, I'm praising God's work in your life, but I bend my knees and I don't cease to pray for you." And he says that you may walk worthy of the call of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened by all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. This character of patience is essential in ministry. He knows it, and he prays for the Colossians that they would also be strengthened and be granted this grace and this fruit of patience. Let us pray for patience in affliction. Let's pray for patience in our calling. Let's pray for patience in ourselves. Let's pray for patience in others, because this is a relational fruit in the body of Christ. And so we do need to exercise patience with one another. Wow. I look at my own life and the various trivial things that I become impatient with. Driving down the road, becoming impatient with the person ahead of you. Picking up the phone because you've been wronged on your bill and you threaten to cancel your service, and you're impatient because this person can't even speak English, hardly. Don't even really know what you're saying. I think we've probably all been guilty of these things. And yet they're very trivial things in the grand scheme of things. But if we can't be patient even in those trivial things, how would we ever expect to be patient and true relational things. We sometimes need to ask ourselves, am I the problem even? As we think about our patience with others. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, am I the one who's inciting impatience in others? Am I causing others even to be impatient? Am I the source of annoyance? Am I the one who's provoking people, rousing up people to anger? Is that what I'm doing? Am I just simply always irritating others? And we have to ask ourselves these difficult questions. We can even ask ourselves, have I done something to hurt someone else and to cause them to lose their patience and to deprive this road of reconciliation through forgiveness? We could ask ourselves, do I exercise patience for this opportunity for repentance and forgiveness and reconciliation? Being patient doesn't mean we just roll over or that we just forgive someone without dealing with the offense. You see, patience is the fruit. It's like the highway that allows for that repentance and forgiveness and reconciliation. Without patience, you will never achieve that. Do I deal with someone honestly? Do I tell them clearly how I've been hurt? And do I listen to them as they maybe have an explanation? Do I make sure that they know I am extending grace unto them? Am I patiently allowing this time for repentance and in order to forgive them and to begin some sort of means of reconciliation? Am I honestly and humbly confronting those who have sinned or offended me with patience? It always raises a question though, doesn't it? Isn't there a line when our patience does run out? Aren't there times when we have to deal with situations, especially for those who are in authority, and to deal with the problem as a parent, a teacher, an office bearer, or someone else? Yes, absolutely. There's times when we have to deal with situations, and there has to be retribution. But that should always be exercised through patience, always desiring to reach the heart, always striving to bring about repentance as a fruit. That's why many times these types of things should be handled in the wisdom of many counselors, so that we know that we've done everything we could with patience, desiring the heart of sinners. It's not, things aren't solved by running away from them and simply ignoring them because you think that you have to exercise patience. Unfortunately, many times when we have to actually deal with things, then you're accused of not having patience and abusing someone. But that's simply not true. There are times that you even need to recognize that you exhaust all avenues for reconciliation and you can't even get any sort of repentance. And you've been wronged and you have to leave justice in the hands of God. That's also true. A God who deals justly with all. But the question in this all is, do others see the fruit of the Spirit in your walk, in your conversation? Do they hear it in your conversation? Do they hear a willingness and a readiness to forgive? You see, Jesus is pointing that out in Matthew 18. We who have been forgiven much. So much. An eternal condemnation. Because of a mountain of sin that we couldn't pay for in eternity. Would refuse to forgive someone. You see, we are all called to repent and to walk in the footsteps of our Master. But I want to say something, dear congregation. I have, in ministry, walked and sat with people who have been hurt in horrific ways. And maybe that's you today. I don't know. And I don't even like to preach sermons like this for you. Because I feel like I'm abusing you again and again. And I can't take your hurt. And I can't take your pain. But I know our Master identifies with you. And He loves you. And you can go to Him. And He will deal justly. I want to encourage you. If you have the courage and the patience to deal with the issue, because silence isn't always the situation that will take care of the problem. I walk with you. By the grace of God. I hope there's no perpetrators among us. But if there is a perpetrator of such hurt to others among us, I simply say, God, have mercy upon you as a perpetrator. Is you have hurt one of His dear sheep. And the long-suffering and patient character of our God extended to you at this moment is not to be mocked. Jesus says it'd be better that a millstone be hung upon your neck and drowned in the sea. But His arms are even still open for you. That when you deal with the very sin that you were engaged in, seeking forgiveness from God and forgiveness from those who you hurt, that He will also receive you in mercy. Because of His great patience. And if that's true, as we look all into our own hearts and in our own lives and recognize our impatience, we can know that His arms are wide open for impatient sinners such as us. Would you flee to Him today for forgiveness and depend on His Spirit for this fruit of patience? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you have been so patient with us. And we pray, O Father in heaven, that you would grant us that patience. Work mightily by your Spirit. And we would take the avenue of repentance and forgiveness and reconciliation with you in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would find in you a full and a free salvation. Equip us, O Lord, by your Spirit to properly exercise wisdom and patience, that your name would be glorified, that your gospel would be witnessed even through it, to the honor and glory of Christ our Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.